worship God. Let's rise this morning as we lift up the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Say thank you, Jesus, for your mercies, for your kindness, and for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for us. Hallelujah.
From the cross. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high.
We lift your name,
I am.
We lift your name,
I am.
We lift your name,
I am.
Oh, Lord, we lift
sun sets free is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. If that's your testimony, shout hallelujah. Who the sun sets free is free, yes indeed. I'm a child of God, yes I am. In my Father's house, there's a place just for me. I'm a child of God, yes I am. Who the sun sets free is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes I am. In my Father's house, there's a place just set for me. I'm a child. Lord, we are thankful that you birth us. We are born again of your Spirit, born from above. That which is born from above is above all. Lord, today, from the position of grace accorded us, we worship you. We magnify you. We bless your holy name. We thank you that we have been born with an incorruptible seed. We are not corruptible. We thank you, Lord, that you, the infallible God, that you are creating, O God, a sense of infallibility in us. That walking uprightly in righteousness and in truth, we stampede against the kingdom of darkness and we tear down all that the enemy has set up. For in the authority of your glorious name, we arise and we take our rightful place. For your word to us is, arise and shine. For the light is come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Lord, your glory is risen upon us, and we rise, we stand, we take our rightful place, and we declare that who the Son has set free is free indeed. Hallelujah. Sun sets free, yes, it's free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place set just for me. I'm a child God, yes I am. Who the Son?
Who the Son?
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The Word of God says if we continue in His Word, then we are free indeed. Somebody say, I am not a quitter. Say it again, I am not a quitter. One more time, I'm not a quitter. I continue. In the Word of God. I continue in the Word of God. I enforce the Word of God in my life and in my environment, and the kingdom of God has come. It is in me. I carry the kingdom of God in me, and the kingdom of God prevails. The kingdom of God prevails. The kingdom of God prevails. Therefore, I am a prevailer in the name of Jesus. More than a conqueror, that's who I am. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Worship team, that was so wonderful. Thank you so very much. God is good. Amen. There is a picture I'd like you to take your camera, if you may, and scan that code right there. Because I'd like for you to be at this gathering on that particular date, the 19th of June. There's going to be a concert here with a dear chosen vessel of the Lord called Sinaj. And you need to participate for many reasons, because she's going to be here. She's anointed. She's carrying the grace of God on her life. But also because, I mean, if you know that this year I'm celebrating 50 years of ministry. Well, they have decided that that particular day, even though the celebration, our celebration here is going to be in September, the pastors in the city are going to honor your pastor that particular day at that concert. Amen? Praise the Lord, you're so quiet. You think 50 years is a joke? That is the doing of the Lord. Do you know how many people have started and didn't complete 5 years? I'm not here 50 years later because I have the biggest congregation in the world. I'm here because of the grace of God. And if you want that grace to come upon your life, where you're able to accomplish the purposes of God with a little, you need to be part of it. For what you appreciate will cause you to be appreciated. But what you do not appreciate will bring depreciation to your life. So I thank God. I thank God for every one of you here. As I was there, I was thanking God for those that are here. And thanking for God for those that are yet to be part of us. You have to be thankful to the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. So that's that. And before Mama comes and prays for us, I'd like to show you a short video that I don't remember who sent this to me, but I thought it was so powerful because it talks about the church and work, the comparison of those two. So if that video is ready and available to go, let's see it. And
how we treat our church versus how we treat our work. Number one, we don't mind being late for church, but we try our best not being late for work. Number two, we miss church because we say we are tired from work, but we never miss church from work. Number three, we spend 2 hours a week in church and complain the church service is too long, but God for 8 HRs a day for 5 or 7 days a week, excluding overtime, but never complain of that. Number four, when we are confronted for our mistakes in church, we quickly transfer to another church, but when we are confronted for our mistakes at work, we apologize. Promise to do better. Number five, when we are called to be in church other than on a Sunday, we make excuses that we are busy, but when we are called to work on a Sunday, we miss church and give excuse that we have to work. Number six, we check our phones during church service, but we turn our phones off at work and never complain. Number seven, we shy away from responsibilities in our church, but we work hard and volunteer in our places of work to be promoted. So let's be honest, is God first in our lives as we claim it? How we...
How do you like those apples? When I saw that, I said, you know what? We need to think about that. Because when we talk about the kingdom of God, we mouth it off, but in reality, we don't mean it. But I suppose there's nobody like that in here. Amen? I want to believe that. There's nobody like that in here, and that when you clap, you are clapping and say, thank God I'm not one of those that prefer work over church. No clapping? We've got problems. Yes, Mama, please. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Well, good day, everyone. Yeah, I was blessed with the worship this morning. We just want to thank God. You know, they had a theme going, and whatever they were singing were part of my reflections during the week. And it's nice. They did it last Sunday, too, so we just want to praise God. So something good is happening with our worship team. They are connecting in the spirit. So praise the Lord. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. I know some of you like to come after worship, or some of you come just half an hour when the message is about to finish. Try to work on that and change some of your posture, meaning go to bed early so you have that half an hour to be ready in the morning. Amen? Praise the Lord. If you have your favorite spot going on, you can record it and watch it at your free time. Just create extra time to be here on time. Yeah. Now, sometimes you say, but Pastor, sometimes you guys come late, but you are not the pastor. People come from different countries at different times. So if you follow us, then sometimes we thank God that we're able to make it on time. Sometimes you're getting 2 or 3 hours, but you still have to function. Somebody shout hallelujah. It's only by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Well, Apostle said 50 years of ministry. I did not hear a good clap offering to the Lord. Hallelujah. You have to thank God when you are in ministry. It's not a joke. I think ministry is one of the, other than maybe medical or pilots, I think ministry is one of the highest stress thing you can do. But if God is with you, then the stress is removed. Somebody shout hallelujah. Ushers, always help that two people at the back there, please, all the time. Whenever service is going on, they carry on, so help them to go to the back, have your conversation. When somebody is standing here, you are distractive, so please, put a stop to that. God bless you. We really appreciate you being here, but you're not here to disturb the service. All right? So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. 50 years in ministry is not a joke. You meet all kinds of people. You meet the good, the bad, the ugly, the crazy, the best, of all kinds. The sick, and the healed, and the well, the prosperous, the poor, all people. Just think about where you walk, all those people there, and people you live with in your family and in the city, in the nation. So ministry get to get all crowds, all kinds of people. But you have to be patient with them, love them, and see them through, and also correct them. Somebody say correct. We don't like that word. Our mouth goes crooked when we say it. But, you know, the Bible says for edification. The word of God is for edification. You build them up, but you also love them so that they can get into the kingdom of God. If you allow them, because our flesh is always enmity with the spirit. Our flesh always wants to do whatever it feels like doing. But we have to bring it under subjection. And the way we do it, we have to edit ourselves. If we don't edit ourselves, then when you come to the house of God, the minister of God have to continue, and the elders and the deacons, they have to help you to get to where you can make it to heaven. Somebody shout. So not everybody will make it to heaven, but most people will. And this is where we make decision to follow the ways of the Lord. Even Jesus, as milk and mild as he was, he had to go to the temple and do what? He got the temple when the priest, they allow whatever to go on, it became a marketplace. All people were interested was what? Buying and selling and trading. They were not interested in the word of God. How they can make dollars, make cowrie shells or whatever the money might, you know, whatever it was. But Jesus said, my house should be what? House of prayer. He got a whip and he went after them. You wouldn't think Jesus would do that. The Bible says Jesus never sinned. You mean you can deal with people and not sin? Yes. That's because he came from glory and he knows who is going to enter glory. The condition is no wrinkle, no blemish, no spot. That is a serious charge we've been given. So we must self-edit. Someone say, I will self-edit myself. So what you don't like, begin to delete it from your life. You can't do all of it in one day, but do it. Amen? So only you know your heart, only you know your tendencies. Only you can surrender to the Lord. Somebody shout hallelujah. So in our Father's house, like they sang today, there's a place for every one of us. We want all of you. Our goal as ministers is to make sure you have your place. Not temporary only on earth, but forever with the Lord. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Glory to God in the highest. God loves us, and he wants us to be with him forever. And he means what he says. May we mean what we do with him. Somebody shout hallelujah. All right, it's Pentecost Sunday, so I'm going to give you two scriptures you need to read. So it's two chapters. Read Joel chapter 2, and then you're going to read Acts chapter 2. So read that when you get home. Amen. All right, rise with me. Let us pray. Glory to God in the highest. Joel 2 and Acts 2. When Peter now said, this is that, he was quoting from what God promised, the prophecy of Joel. Somebody shout hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You never know what's going to happen. You just come up and the Holy Ghost said, say this, do this, you know. You know, so praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we bless your holy name. We are thankful that we can praise you. We are thankful that we came to church this morning to meet with you. Not to remain the same, but to advance. May our lives advance before you, Lord. May you purify our heart, purify our system. Where we are weak, may we become strong. In the name of Jesus. Lord, that we will do the things you've called us to do. There's an assignment over every one of our lives. Our lives are not here as a piece of just passing by thing. You have sent us to this earth to do something. May we all accomplish our purpose in the name of Jesus. May what you have planted in us be made manifest. May your spirit rise within us, Lord. May the things of flesh that tag us down, may they no longer weigh us down. Say the sin of weight that is upon our life, may it be broken in the name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, may our lives excel in you, Lord. May our lives soar to magnify your holy name. We came from glory and we are returning back to glory. Father, may we use the time of our adventure on earth. May we use it wisely and use it to glorify your holy name. Equip every individual that hear the sound of my voice, that they will rise from the place of ashes, place of weakness, to the place of strength. In the mighty name of Jesus, they will be the child of God that they are. You gave birth to us, and we will continue to magnify our Father. Father, be magnified in our lives. Be glorified in our lives. May our lives be pleasing to you. May your spirit continue to woo us. May your spirit continue to teach us. May it continue to guide us. May it continue to equip us. May it continue to quicken us. And may it continue to cause us to walk in the ways of the Lord. For your words say, walk in the spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. May the power of flesh be broken from our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. May tendencies to be rebellious be broken from our lives in the name of Jesus. May we be children of the Most High God. Even Jesus Christ, our Lord, learned obedience through the things he suffered. May we learn obedience through the processes we go through. In the mighty name of Jesus. Strengthen your body, Lord. May your church be the true church of Jesus Christ. May your church be without wrinkle, blemish, or spot. Continue to purify us and help us to edit our lives, to magnify your name, to please you, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, be in the service this morning. Strengthen those that are weak. Heal those that are sick. Touch every life, Lord. Those that are poor, give to them. Those that are rebellious, may they be free from every shackles of bondage in the mighty name of Jesus. Households that are struggling behind the scene, deliverance, deliverance, deliverance. Wholeness, 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 and restoration in the mighty name of Jesus. Young men and young women, run back to the Lord. Be filled with the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. Your prophecy of young men and old men dreaming dreams, young men and young women having visions, let it manifest in the midst of your people. In the mighty name of Jesus, draw the spiritual gifts into this church, into those hearing the sound of my voice. May the work of the Spirit begin to make itself manifest in our midst. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, flow freely in the service. Let our lives be transformed. We came here one way, we will live stronger than ever, greater than ever, better than ever, blessed than ever. Magnify your name more than ever with joy in our hearts and thanksgiving unto you, O God. Father, we pray now for the peace of Jerusalem, peace within her walls and her palaces, prosperity to her palaces, strength to strength, glory to glory. The apple of your eye, Israel, the apple of your eye, Israel, your glory, Israel, your firstborn, Israel, that you have chosen to give the word of God to be transforming all nations. We give you praise for the word of the Lord. Father, we thank you for the preservation of your word in our hearts. and the speakable word of God. May the words and your covenant be made manifest to the nation of Israel, to Canada, Nigeria, United States of America, Sierra Leone, Liberia, Zimbabwe, in the mighty name of Jesus. Touch these nations, touch the islands of the seas, and all nations where someone is calling upon the name of the Lord. Spirit of the living God, continue to move and brood, and let your word go forth. Save the leadership of all nations where someone is calling the name of the Lord. May you bring revival to the nations, to our churches, to our homes, and the celebration coming up in June for Sinash coming to town. Lord, we minister your grace to her and through her, and for all the ministries in town going to honor your servant for 50 years of full-time ministry. Father, we give you praise. May your name be glorified. Move in the service this morning. The exact word that every one of us need, let it be tailored made to our hearts, that we will eat from that word and grow and multiply and be fruitful in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Awesome.
God will do anything. He will be anything to bring about the fulfillment of a word he gave to you. So this day, do not be disheartened and think it's all lost. The milk is spilled, the eggs are scrambled. God can unscramble scrambled eggs. Hello, are you with me? It's never too late with God. That is a message I want you to hear today. It's never too late with who? God.
I want you to think about that. Just meditate on it for a moment. It's never too late with God. All right. Before I bring the word of the Lord to us this morning, I just want to share a little bit about the last trip. And just show you some pictures so you are together. This is in one of the grounds. The people that came to hear the word of God, and God did mighty miracles. But it's something that happened there, and it's apropos for me to talk about it. I was ministering for maybe about 15, 20 minutes, and God had done great things. There were blind eyes that were opened, and all kinds of miracles. Tumors that just disappeared. But something happened. Remember one of the last trips I went to? What pictures are those? That's okay. That must have posted the wrong ones. I talked about this wind of the Spirit that came. Remember me talking about it? And you saw the video of that, and my clothes were flapping. Yeah, this is the right picture now. Well, in this one, the wind of God came, but all of a sudden there was a change. That change, that wind, became not the wind of God. And when it changed, I saw it. The enemy was really very upset about this meeting. And it said, blowing. Look at all the people celebrating the goodness of God. This wind just picked up. And I heard that that same wind that happened there, that same wind happened here. And it's quite possible it was at about the same time difference. The enemy was so upset with what God was doing, it attacked here, Winnipeg. It attacked us in the ground. The guy that was pointing to his neck, that was a tumor that was gone, vanished. God was just doing it was not like we preached for a long time, just short time. And says, let's take testimonies. And God was doing incredible things, and this wind kicks up. The next day, I was speaking somewhere else, and there's the wind again. And then I was speaking somewhere else, there is the wind again. So everywhere I was going, they see the wind coming and say, you're the wind man. the wind man. How is it every time you show up, the wind, I say, it's the Spirit of God. But sometimes the enemy will want to defraud you of what God wants to do. But this is the fact that what God wants done will be done. This kid could not open his hands properly. And there, God had done it. God had healed him, his hands. And the incredible thing is, I didn't have to pray. God just needed to do what God does. Amen? I said, nobody's going to sue me for practicing medicine. Nobody can come here and say, you did this. No, I didn't do anything. I just preached the word of God. I just talked about Jesus. And Jesus, go sue Jesus. Go find him. If you can find him, you can mess with him. But I can't take any credit for it. God is faithful. Amen? So we have much to celebrate and just say, thank you, Lord, for the wind of your Spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. It's quite interesting. Amen. That same wind I was talking about, while I was some 2.5 hours away, that same wind at the same time picked up from where I was staying, in the city I was staying in, Lahore. It's later I was talking to Mama, I found out that that same thing was happening in Winnipeg at the same time. Same time. This is like thousands of miles away. But wherever it was that I was, it's like the devil doesn't know where I am. So let's attack everything. But he's a loser. Amen? God is good. Amen. Huh? Oh, this kid, I think, if I remember correctly, that particular kid had problems moving around freely. It was not a mega miracle like crippled. No, he was not crippled, but his mobility was restrained. And God had healed him. The pain was gone. And so he takes off running. Prophet Ame was with me. I had him come with me, and this lady had a serious accident and could not walk. That was her device that she walked with, you know, and even with that, she couldn't move, and just took it off from her, and she started walking, and she carried it away like that. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yes. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. God is faithful. Amen. All right. Today is Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost, the word is a Greek word meaning 50. But the roots of this word, or rather, this particular feast, was also in the Old Testament, and it's called the Feast of Shavuot. The Feast of Shavuot, meaning the Feast of Weeks. Weeks. So this feast takes place 7 weeks from Passover. So 7 weeks. And 7 times 7 is what? 49. And then the next day is 50. So that's this feast. It's also the Feast of Harvest, because this is the time that they brought their harvest to the Lord. Bible tells us about that in Exodus 23 and verse 16. It is also the day of first fruits. There are 2 days of first fruits in the feast of the Lord. One in this early part of the spring and one in the fall. These are harvest times. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, this particular feast, or the day of first fruits, Numbers 28 and verse 26 tells us about that. It's a feast that celebrates the provision, the blessings of God. But this morning, I want to, by the leading and guidance of the Holy Spirit, dwell on another aspect of this particular feast, the Feast of Pentecost. The Bible says in Acts 2 and verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. These are the disciples of the Lord. They are in the upper room. They are in the upper room because God wants to meet us at a higher level. Is somebody listening? They could have been anywhere else, but they were in the upper room, because God had higher level decisions he wants to infuse and impact into every one of us. So they were there in the upper room. And while they were there, the Bible says they were in one accord. In essence, they were unified. They were in unity. The power of Pentecost is manifested in the place where unity is. And then the Word of God says they were in one place. They were not all over the place. Today, we are all over the place, and we want the power of God to be made manifest. And God is saying, no, I need you to be gathered together in one place. Have one mind about the things of my spirit, and I will do something extraordinary in your life. God brought them to a place where they were in one accord. Someone say one accord. That's not Lindsay's car. The word is homotumaden. Homotumaden. It's a compound word. And this compound word, homotumaden, means a place of rushing along, but also it means in unison. So in essence, God, when he talks about accord here, he's not talking that, saying that they were all the same. It's talking about people that were different, but coming into agreement together. The church of Jesus Christ is not a church of people that are all the same. Same level of education, same tribe, same everything. No. It's about God bringing people that are in the natural mismatched and bringing them together, and they are functioning together. It is a move of the power of God. Look at the disciples that Jesus Christ had. Those were natural enemies, most of them. You go and look at each one of them and you say, how on earth did you bring this crew together and they function together? God didn't say that we are all supposed to be the same. We can be as different is, but in his hand and by his guidance, he brings us to a place where we come together and we are in one place. One place. Whether you're Spanish, Greek, Ukrainian, Russian, Polish, German, African, it doesn't matter. We are one people under his lordship. Amen? Now, having talked about that, I am going to make a detour now. Because Pentecost happened when the people were afraid, discouraged, thought that all was lost. And this is a message to you and to me, that when you think all is lost, God is cooking up something. Hallelujah. God is cooking up something. On the day of Pentecost, yes, they were at the upper room, but they were afraid. They had seen Jesus die. Yes, they saw him raised again from the dead. He was with them for 40 days, and then he takes off. He just gone. And when they thought that he was going to stay with them after his resurrection, there he goes. Now, what are we going to do? Our hope is gone. What are we going to do? And on the day of Pentecost, when it was fully come, God, at the time of harvest, the Bible says, there comes this wind. While they were there in the upper room, there comes a sound from heaven. Somebody say, sound from heaven. As of a rushing mighty wind. Think of it this way. They are there scared. They are there afraid. And while they are there, this wind What's going on? What's going on? What's going on? And the pressure, when the Bible talks about the place being filled, the house being filled, think about the fact that there's a change of pressure. Have you been in a plane before? And there's pressure. It affects everything, especially your ears. Hello? Mm-hmm. This pressure is taking place. It's affecting everything about them. And while that's happening, boom, cloven tongues. They don't see what's on them. They see what's on the other. Because what God wants you to appreciate is not the anointing that is on your life, but appreciate what's on other people's lives. Are we together? You can't see what's on yours, but you can see what's on theirs. And you begin to say, wow, what is this that's happening? And while all of that is happening, they all start speaking in tongues. And while they are speaking in tongues, something begins to happen. They are all filled with the Holy Ghost. The Lord Jesus Christ says, you shall receive what? Power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So, the Holy Ghost has come upon them, and now the next result is going to be the result of power. How is this power manifested in them? It's manifested through their utterance. Come with me. It's manifested how? Through their utterance. When the grace of God comes upon your life, the first thing that must change is what's coming out of your mouth. I don't know if you're hearing. The first demonstration of the power of God in your life is the change that happens in your talk. In your talk. In your talk. If your speech has not changed, the power of God has not come upon you. The first place that proves that something has gone wrong when you're walking with God is that your language changes also. If the Spirit of God lives from you, your change is going to be made manifest in your talk. When the Spirit of God is upon you, the change is going to happen in your talk. Are we together so far? And Bible says, watch this, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together. This is the next thing that you see. People are coming. They were hiding. Hello? They were what? Hiding. But the people were coming. Because that wind that created that change in them was taking that same noise out there and causing them, the people out there, to find out where the noise was coming from. Oh my God, help me. The noise was coming from the upper room, but the noise that was coming up from the upper room came from above. Hello? It came from above. But now that which was above is now being made manifest in that upper room. And from that upper room, it is broadcasted. And so the broadcast draws the people to the source. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that that which is happening in heaven be made manifest in my life, in your life, in our lives as God's people, and that there will be a reverberation of that which God is doing here, out there, that forces people to come find out what is the source of what we are hearing. Praise God. So they came. They heard them. And when they came, the Bible says they were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. What's happening? They're speaking in tongues, but the people are hearing whatever it is that they were saying in their own individual language. This is the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit causes us to be able to communicate. Don't know if you're hearing. The power of Pentecost is about communication, words. That the words that come forth out of our mouths communicate. That people understand what we are saying. I remember many years ago, it's got to be about 20-something years, maybe more than that. We were having a service here, a wedding actually. And I don't remember what was it Lebanon? Where was that mama from? Do you remember? We were doing a wedding here, and there was this elderly lady that didn't speak English. She was from Syria. All right. She was from Syria. She doesn't speak English. She came to her grandson's wedding. And when the service was finished, she said, "I understood everything you said." Somehow I'm speaking English and God was translating whatever it was that I was saying to her. That's exactly what was happening here. They're speaking in tongues and everybody's hearing. Do you think they group people together and says, "All you Syrians, you stay over here. You guys from Ethiopia, you stay over here." And then one of the disciples, who know, out of the 120, found the Ethiopians over here and started speaking Ethiopian to them. 120 people are speaking all at the same time. And you're supposed to understand. Now that is the doing of the Lord. What does that mean to me? It means that I must take the limits off of God. That in the importance of being organized, that God works even when there's disorganization. That may be a little bit hard for us to understand. That when God wants to move, it doesn't matter whether you organize or disorganize, He will do whatever He wants to do and accomplish what He wants to do. Amen? So, we want to be ready. But when God is ready to do what He wants to do, ready or not, He does what He wants to do. Hello? Somebody listening? I hope you're listening. Because I want to believe that at the end of the message today, that you and I would have taken the limits off of God and say, "God, you are God. Do what you want done." Amen? Hallelujah. God functions in every situation. In fact, He is a God of light and He says He inhabits the darkness. How is that? God will show Himself strong. All I need to do is believe Him. The people were confounded. They were shocked that all of this was happening. But God was in the business of doing what He wanted to do. And on this day of Pentecost, God has an agenda. There's something he wants to do for you. There's something God wants to do for me. And it's tied to that word, that number 50. The Bible tells us that the first sermon was preached. The first sermon at the birth of the church was preached. It's preached by a man that was very scared, a man who had denied Jesus 3 times. A man who was scared of his own shadow, who's now going to be used by God, and his shadow begins to bring healing to people. Because God cannot be limited when he wants to move. He stands up and he says in verse 16, "This is that." This is that. I believe God is bringing us to that place where that which we used to hope for, that which was prophesied and we're expecting someday, that there will be a finality to the waiting. So we too can say, this is that. This is that. This is that. This is what we've been talking about. This is what God said that I've been waiting for centuries for. This is that. When is this that happening? It's happening when they thought everything was lost. When their very hope is gone from them the second time. First he died. Then they were excited that he rose again from the dead. But now he's showing them his nail prints and everything. And before you know it, he's taking off. He's telling them he's going to send them a comforter. We don't know this comforter. So it's going to be like me. It's going to be like you. What's his name? Holy Spirit. I thought that's the same thing you did when you came and you saw us while we're hiding. You said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." And we're still scared. Receive ye the Holy Spirit. So how is this going to work this time? What's going to be different? We received your proclamation before, but it looks like nothing happened. What's going to be different this time? Have you ever been in that situation where you're wondering, what is going to be different this time? I received a prophetic word before. It didn't look like anything happened. What is going to happen this time? We've heard it before. We've experienced it before. We've been told this many times before. Oh, Jesus is coming. Where is he? But when the day of Pentecost was fully come, that's it. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, there's a fullness of time. God tells us what he's going to do, but there is a fullness of time when it says, this is the day where your expectation is no longer going to be disappointed. This is the day. What day is that? The day that he set up in his mind that he's going to do whatever it is that he's going to do, and nothing is going to stop it. When it was the fullness of time for Jesus to come, it was not going to be, there was not going to be a Zechariah that was going to mess it up. He shut his mouth. Hallelujah. He shut his mouth right away. You're not going to say nothing. because John the Baptist is going to be born, and he is going to be a forerunner. So you are not going to stop the destiny helper. Please, here. You're not going to stop the destiny helper of my son. And I say in the mighty name of Jesus that your destiny helpers will not be stopped. In the mighty name of Jesus, that the one that God has assigned to help you fulfill your divine purpose and destiny will not be hindered. They will not be slowed down. They will not be stopped. They will not be quenched. They will be fulfilled. They will be led by the Spirit of God to do what God says they must do. It is time for the fulfillment of God's word in your life. Somebody shout hallelujah. So, there they were, speaking, and the people were hearing. But the first response of the people, as they were declaring the will of God, speaking in tongues, is the Bible says that they doubted, and they mocked. Huh? How can you be doubting and mocking? Says, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? What does this mean? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. They were partly right. They had the new wine of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Well, Peter stands up and says, guys, you're wrong. It's just the third hour. We couldn't possibly be drunk this early. Maybe in the ninth hour, maybe. Third hour. Too early. But this is what's going on. God says in his word that he's going to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. Hallelujah. That's what's happening. He's pouring out of his Spirit. Look at it. Look at verse 16. And hear this. Acts 2:16. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days. In what days? Guess what? The last day started, the clock for the last day started on the day of Pentecost. That's about 2,000 years ago. One day in the sight of God is like 1,000 to us. So this is like 2 days ago. Hello? And it shall come to pass in the last day, said God, I will pour out of my Spirit. Out of my Spirit. Out of my Spirit. Upon how many flesh? All flesh. I remember what the Lord said to me a few years back. He said to me that this happened then, but that the full manifestation of it we are about to step into. That he's going to pour out of his Spirit upon all flesh. Not some, all flesh. As the waters cover the sea, so shall the Spirit of God cover the whole earth. He said, son, and this is what's going to happen. I said, what's going to happen? Are you going to pour out your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, upon everybody? He said, yes. He said, this is what's going to happen. My Spirit is going to enhance, multiply whatever it is that's in them already. I say, I don't get it. He said, my Spirit, if you're walking in righteousness, you will be more steadfast in that walk of righteousness. If you're walking in bitterness, it will multiply that bitterness. He says, so those who are going to be holy are going to truly be holy, and those who are wicked shall truly be wicked. He says, this is going to be my way of separating. God is going to separate people. That's why it was what? Cloven. Are we together? Cloven tongues. That is split apart. Yes? Okay. The Spirit of God that is coming upon the church in the Pentecost that God is raising up is going to bring about a separation. The real church will arise and the wicked church will also arise. Hello? Is somebody listening? So you and I need to decide which side we're going to be. You got to do it now because you don't know when the full, when the day of Pentecost shall fully come, when the day that he's going to pour out of his Spirit upon all flesh is going to come, because it's going to enhance, multiply whatever it is that's in you. Is somebody listening? Okay. So what do you want inside of you? Wickedness? Unbelief? The Bible says when this happens, that even though there are all kinds of tribulations and all kinds of things happening, it says the people did not repent. They did not repent. If all kinds of craziness is happening and they will not change. Why? God is not going to take anybody out of here to be with him that's going to pollute where he is. So if there's purity in there, you will truly be truly, truly pure. Because that's what the Spirit of God is going to do. He's going to quicken and establish and promote that which God has on his mind. He's going to pour out of his Spirit upon all flesh. All flesh. Not some. Not the Baptist and or the Pentecostal or the Charismatic or the Catholic. Everybody. Hindu, Buddhist, everybody. Everybody. And it's going to separate people that are for God from those who are not for God. Is somebody listening? Are you understanding? And the Word of God goes on and says, he says, and your sons and your daughters, they're going to begin to prophesy. Your young men, they're going to see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. He says, and on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Listen to verse 19. Watch this. And I will show wonders in heaven. Watch this. It's talking about the Holy Ghost coming, right? But watch this. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. This is about judgment. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So those that are on the right side, they will call on the name of the Lord, they will be saved. But those who are not, they're going to get the smoke. They're going to get the fire. They're going to get the judgment. Can we capish? So the question I need to ask myself, the question I need you to ask yourself is, if he were to come today and the Spirit of God were to be poured in this dimension today, where am I going to find myself? on the right side or on the wrong side. Where am I going to find myself? Because God needs you, for you and I, to make that decision now. If you want to be the one who's prophesying, if you want to be the one who's seeing visions, if you want to be the one who's dreaming dreams, and that same grace transfers to your handmaidens, to your servants, to your employees, to whoever this is, then stay on the right track, because my spirit is going to come. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now let's talk about 50 for a moment. 50. Jesus, our Lord, give thanks. He had 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children. He'd been teaching for a long time, for days. In fact, I think the Word of God says it was on the third day that he asked the disciples, I can't send these people away. What do we have to feed them? He said, what kind of a question is that, boss? Even if we had so much money, thousands, to go buy the food, that would not even be enough. You've got a whole slew of people here. Send them away. Jesus says, no, I'm not going to send them away, because if I send them away, they might start fainting in the way. I'm not interested in having people fainting. I want them taken care of. So what do we have? Andrew says, so a kid with five loaves and two fishes. He said, but what's that going to do? He said, bring it. So he lifts it up and he gives thanks. And then he said, sit them down in 50s. Sit them down in 50s, he said. Let's look at Luke 9 for a moment and verse 14. He says, for there were about 5,000 men, and he said to his disciples, make them sit down by 50s in a company. In a company. And they did so and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them and broke and gave to disciples to set before the multitude. And they did eat and were all filled. And there was taken up of fragments that remained 12 baskets. 12 baskets. Well, when you think about that, you may lose the underlining points that he's making. 50 represents jubilee. 50 represents deliverance. 50 represents restoration. But it comes up with 12 baskets. What does 12 stand for? 12 stands for leadership and government. In essence, God is saying, listen, even in the worst situation, when it comes to the issue of Pentecost, I want you to understand that I take care of everybody. Guess what? Guess what? Guess what? First thing that happens after the three 1,000 people get saved. They start going from house to house. And the Bible says that everybody got food and nobody lacked anything. So part of Pentecost is God taking care of the needs of the people. Somebody listening? Pentecost. It's not just about flames of fire. It's about a jubilee. It's about redemption. It's about deliverance. It's about restoration. It's about change. It's about needs being met. And the first demonstration after speaking in tongues is that the needs of the people were being addressed. God wants us to be used by Him to bring hope to the hopeless. Hallelujah. We cannot lack when God is calling us to minister to the needs of people. Praise the Lord. Government. Governance. My prayer is this, that as the Spirit of God rests upon us, that we demonstrate the kingdom of God. One of the mistakes that's plagued the church is that we have stepped away from our true responsibility in God. We've left government to the people of the world. Huh? We left it to them. And guess what they are doing? They're trying to shut us up. They're trying to tell us what we're going to preach or not preach. They're legislating all kinds of crazy stuff. I don't want to scare you. But the government is out for you as a believer. And guess what? Are you ready for this? You and I need to recognize who God is and who we are in Him. Years ago, I used to talk about the Spirit of God on us and that you'll be going to work, getting paid. But the work that you're going to does not exist. Remember I'm talking about stuff like this, crazy stuff? Well, you're going to leave it. Amen? We come into that stage where the only people that really will have a job, first stage, the people that really truly have a job are the people that have given their souls to the devil. You have to have a mark. You think that's something going to happen someday, sometime? It's already happening. It's already happening. Digital ID on you. It's already happening. In Europe, it's already happening. They've already started trying it here just next door in Saskatchewan years ago. Think it's some futuristic thing? You grab into your stuff and you're thinking, I got a job. And you're not trusting God. You'll find out. You need to trust God, because with Pentecost, God takes 5 loaves and 2 fishes and takes care of the problem. Amen? Hallelujah. Oh, come on, please. Come on, please. I'm talking about living Bible days now. Remember the statement they made? What is this? What is this? They were amazed and said, what is this? Do you know that that's the language that the people made at a particular time in the Old Testament and said, what is that? So they called it manna. And they got stuck with what? Manna. God, somebody, I don't know why I keep on asking you, somebody listening. Your relationship with God better be solid. It better be solid. What we're doing here is not plain church. Don't come next year and say, well, Pastor, that's what Pastor said. I was here 4 years ago. I prophesied and told you about New York. Do you remember me saying something about New York? In tears, crying about New York, what was going to happen to New York? Guess what's happening to New York? Exactly what God said. I may not come here and say, thus said the Lord all the time, but when I'm talking, better be listening. Get your ears open. Listen. Nobody's going to stay here and stand before the Lord and say, Pastor did not tell us. It's not going to happen. Because I will lose my sanctified and take a crowbar after you and say, who said what? No, you get the information years ahead of time. You're always, always informed. Because I don't come here talking about my stuff out of my head. I'm speaking to you by the Spirit of God. You and I need to begin to trust God. Learn how to trust God now. Trust God. If He says something to you, do it. And don't be that gang that is doubting and mocking. You say, what is this? What's that? And Peter had to stand up and say, this is that. If you're wondering what what is that is, this is that. What God said, that's what's happening now. I told you some 20 years ago, I told you that your income tax receipt, donation receipt was going to be scrapped. Did I tell you that? Huh? I told you, right? Okay. Guess what they are fighting and working so hard to do? So you better start giving to God, not because you're going to get a receipt so that your taxes be reduced. Just give to God because you love God. They want to even get rid of cash. Did you know that? They want to get rid of cash. Yeah? So the system can control every detail of your life. Did you know that the enemy's plan is to be able to wipe out whatever it is that you think that you've accumulated just like that, digitally, just clean you up. And you go and you thought you had money, and now there's no money. And if you were living your life based on, I got money, guess what? Your goose is cooked. You got to learn how to buy. The Word of God says, buy without money. You got to grow and come to the place where you recognize, hey, God is my provider. Hallelujah. You got to grow to come to the place where they shut the lights off, but there's light. They cut everything, but there's still light. It doesn't matter what they do, there's still light. There's still water. There's still whatever. You want food, it is there. You say, Pastor, come on, excuse me. God provided them fresh baked bread. Guess what? His son is hungry. He's out that way. And God sends a raven, a bird, an unclean bird, a scavenger that doesn't even care to take care of its own little ones, to bring food to the prophet. If God can cause a raven to bring food to the prophet, do you think he can provide for you? Huh? If he takes care of the sparrow, will he take care of you? The God who, if one hair falls off of your head, knows the number of it. I'm not talking about, okay, it was 5,600 hair and one fell off. Oh, so now it's not 500, 600 anymore. It's now 5,599. No. Every hair, if number 223 fell off, he knows 223 fell off. Hallelujah. That's what he cares about, every single detail. Hallelujah. And he's guaranteeing. I don't know if you're ready for this. In Pentecost, in Jubilee, which is 50, the Word of God says, let me read it to you from Deuteronomy. Let me begin to wrap. Deuteronomy 15. It says, at the end of every 7 years, thou shalt make a release. At the end of every 7 years, there'll be a release. So the plan of God is every 7 years, there's a release, a deliverance that's set in motion. It says, and this is the manner of the release. Every creditor that lendeth ought unto his neighbor shall release it. In other words, forgive it. He shall not exact it of his neighbor or of his brother, because it is called the Lord's what? Release. So God's release manifested through people. You see that? It's God's release, but it's manifested through people. I say in the mighty name of Jesus that the release of the Lord will be manifested through people, whether they be banks or whatever, that there'll be a release in the mighty name of Jesus. It says, of a foreigner thou mayest exact it again, but that which is thine with thy brother, thine hand shall release, save when there shall be no poor among you. It says, always release until there's no poor people around you anymore. Because there's nobody that's owing anybody. That's God's best. So what's the agenda of the release? Not so that you can get back into debt. The release is so that you are free from the burden and the enslavement of indebtedness. It says, for the Lord shall greatly bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it. only if thou carefully hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe, to do all these commandments which I command thee this day. For the Lord thy God blesseth thee. So I said, the Lord my God blesseth me. As he promised thee. Hallelujah. As God has promised me, so have I been blessed. He says, and thou shalt lend unto many nations. Someone say, I am a lender to nations. There are people living today that lend to nations. Is that true or not? There are people living with us now, not someday, right now, who have the wealth of a whole nation. One person has it. And God is saying, listen, I want to bless you and bring you to a place where you become a lender. Not to people. Not to people. Nations. Would we believe? He didn't say how he's going to do it. He didn't say you had to be so educated that you have that. He said, that's what I'm going to do. If you learn how to release people from indebtedness, I too will release you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He says, and thou shalt lend unto many nations. But he didn't say just one nation, many nations. But thou shalt not what? Someone say, I'm a lender and not a borrower. I believe the word of God. It is manifested in my life. For I am in the Jubilee of God. I am in the Pentecost of God. I am blessed and highly favored of the Lord. I receive the anointing of Jubilee. You say, Pastor, maybe it is about them. He says, and thou shalt reign over many nations, and they shall not reign over thee. You will reign over nations, they will not reign over you. In other words, God is saying, listen, it doesn't matter what they are saying. The government is saying, you, under my unction and my anointing, you take control. You are in charge. I was listening to a man of God. He's gone home to be with the Lord now. He said there was he was having a crusade meeting, and in this particular field, and because of the crowd that came, about 500,000 people. This is like 30 something years ago that this happened. He said the government was upset because they wanted that field for a soccer match. So they went and they tore down his equipment and stuff. He said all he did, he went to the radio station and to the television station, and he told them, listen, there'll be no match tomorrow because you took my stuff up. Because by the time I get out of this studio, it's going to start raining and flooding, and there's not going to be a match. He said, they started calling him, please forgive us. Please forgive us. We'll get you a bigger place. We'll get you something else. And we'll put everything together for you. Oh, that's authority, the power of God. The man, his name was Archbishop Benson Idahosa. Pastor Henry knows this man of God. He pastored his churches. You don't mess with Benson Idahosa. You want to die? You really want to die? Because if that man says you're dead, you're finished. You're finished. You think there's going to be a government that's going to terrorize the people of God when we are anointed? You want a heart attack? You won't stop me? In what world when the hand of God is upon my life? Oh, no, 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 no. We're not. Who born monkey? It is not by might nor power, but by the Spirit of God. They are not afraid of us, and they can legislate whatever nonsense they want to legislate because they've not seen the power of God operational. They've not had the fear of God. The Word of God says, I will cause my fear to be before them. They'll fear you. Not because you want them to be afraid. Flies don't perch on hot plates. You get roasted, barbecued. That's who we are. We are the people of God. God has not given to us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love, power, and a sound, mature, disciplined mind. We know who our God is. Hallelujah. David knew who his God was. And he said to Goliath, do you know who you're talking to? You think you're talking to me? You defined my God. And so, man, you done. And he starts running towards Goliath. Goliath says, who's this crazy kid coming? And that was the last thought he thought. And the sword, hear this, the sword that he had planned to use to cut up David, David carried that sword and cut off his head. So shall the head of the enemy be cut off by the word and their confession. Cut off. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's what Pentecost is about. You say, really? Yeah. And guess what? This particular judgment, it's not going to start out there. It starts inside the house. Because the first thing that happens is there's this guy and his wife who were pretending that they were doing something for God, but were not really doing what they said they were doing. And you know the rest of the story. They drop dead. Judgment starts in the house. And judgment has already started in the house. I don't know if you're hearing what I'm saying. Judgment has already started in the house. Let me say it the third time. Judgment has already started in the house. There's judgment in the church because God is going to judge the world. I need to stay clean. You need to stay clean. And we need to trust God. It's Pentecost. It is our Jubilee. Jubilee is 7, 7, 7, 7 times. Rest, rest, rest. Release 7 times. And you know what he says? The law of sowing and reaping is held off. Because he said, when you come to that Jubilee, the land rests, so you don't sow. You got to trust God for the harvest. He's going to give you enough when you did not sow to go through the years of rest. God means this so, he means it absolutely when he talks about this rest, that when Israel did not keep the law of the rest, he sent them out of the land for all the years that did not allow the land to rest. Whatever wants me not to rest shall not rest. Amen? Whatever doesn't want me to rest shall not rest. The victory is ours in Jesus' mighty name. Rise with me. Heavenly Father, we are here about you. Our boast is in you, not in ourselves. in recognizing, oh God, that your faithfulness shall be made known. Lord, oh God, today, that which you have not planted, we declare rooted out. We declare in the mighty name of Jesus that the full impact and benefit of Pentecost and the Jubilee of the Lord be made manifest in our lives. For even as your word declares in Luke 4 and 18, you said to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of Jubilee. Today, I declare that in this Pentecost, that we are in our Jubilee. I thank you, Lord, that this year, I will celebrate 50. And I declare, God, that the benefit of 50 of Pentecost, the benefit of the Jubilee, be manifested in my life and the lives of those that, Lord, oh God, that you've given. May we all experience your fullness. Thank you, Father, that it is so. Satan, the Lord God Almighty, rebukes you. You shall not harass the people of God. Your agenda is toast. It is burnt up. It is brought to naught. And the people of God are walking in divine freedom. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Praise the Lord. At this time, I want us to honor God with our giving. I want to challenge you, since we're talking about Pentecost, to give something that is divisible by 50. Give something that is divisible by 50. Whether it's $50 or $100 or $500 or $5,000 or $5 million. I don't care. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I thank you, Lord, that I will be able to give $5 million in an offering in Jesus' mighty name. I receive that grace. Praise the Lord. Where are you taking it to? Use it for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Is there anyone that needs the element of communion you don't have? There's a hand right there just by you. Anybody else? Communion? Is somebody on this side? This way. Somebody.
This bread of life today, may the Spirit of God be restored in our spirit.
Amen.
That the Spirit of Pentecost will perpetually walk in our lives.
Hallelujah.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
May the sound of heaven come in our lives.
Yes, Lord.
And may that sound also come out of us.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
There be liberty and freedom and wholeness restored to every household.
Yes, Lord.
That hears the sound of my voice.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Take any.
The God we serve is not dead, he's alive. Today, as we take of this cup, let all that God has in his mind for us as his people be made manifest in us suddenly, suddenly. We thank you, Lord, for the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We receive that which you said we must receive, power. Let your power be demonstrated in us and through us. You said that the things that you did shall we do also, and greater work shall we do, because you've gone to be with the Father. Let it be unto us according to your word. As we take off this cup, we do it in remembrance of you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, take off the cup and drink. Praise the Lord. We bless all of those that joined us online from the different nations. May God enrich your life.